Estolis a muhtar bikilusin a umutar binimusin. You like that nusach? On a matzeva or on a sefer? Muhtar, he is crowned bikilusin with praises. Umutar. Mu'utar means also a crown binimusin with beautiful ways.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I hear you fine.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me? Who can't hear me?
I can't hear anything.
Loud and clear.
Aaron, go off and go on. Aaron, go off and go on.
Okay, I think I got here a very solid, everything on my side looks really good. I have a very solid intake connection.
Oh, I hear you very loud.
I have a very good microphone.
I can hear you also.
I have a solid, Mr. Cohn, if you can't hear me, try again, log off and log back on. Mr. Cohn, can you hear me?
Log on again. Log on.
Text him. You have to text him. You know how to text him?
All right.
All right, we'll have to get him later
log
on.
Log on. He's not paying attention to what he has to do. He's just showing his pictures.
All right, we'll do the rest. He'll figure it out.
Chat.
He will figure it out. All right, the word nimus means a hanhaga. It means a way. So he writes over here that among the priests, it says, specifically Rashi, amongst the goyim, yesh abos, yeah.
Why did this remind you of the nusach?
Because it says word nimusim. In the nusach, it says the nimusim. Muhtar bikilusin umutar binimusin. The same exact word. I was studying this word about half an hour ago, and here I am right now reading the Rashi. I mean, I was reading the Rashi. It was a little spooky. Wow, look at that. The word nimus means a hanhoga. It means a way. Now, by those who worship idols, it means the way of worship. By Klal Yisrael, it means the proper derech eretz, the proper hanhoga, how to behave yourself. So by the darke oivikachavim yesh nimusim harbe the choimrim harbe, many different types of priests, v'chulam miskabsim bebayis secha, they all gather in one bayis. Now there are different gersois. In the gers that I have in Rashi, it says v'chulam, all of the priests, they all come together in one bayis. There's another nusach that says v'ein kulam.
Mr. Cohn,
you have to try to reboot your computer. Start all over again. That's the only thing I can recommend. Start all over again. Reboot the computer. Turn the computer off. Turn it back on and log in again. Maybe it will resolve itself.
I can't hear anything.
He's not listening to us.
I know he doesn't hear us.
Can you write him a note?
All right, I'll tell him. I'll send him a note. Okay. I'll send him a note. I will. I'm chatting with him right now.
This says,
okay, I send him a note. Okay, I sent him
what's
a note.
The next
hopefully.
What's the word after Harbe?
What? The word.
The word harbe,
the choymrim, priest, a priest. The choy means priest. The choymrim harbe, they have many priests. By the goyim, by idolaters, they have many different. They have many different nimus, different ways, different types of services, and they have many different priests. V'chulam miskapsim bebayisachin. According to the gears that we have in front of us, it means all of them they gather in one bayis, in one church. In one church, all of the priests come together, and they serve their God in many different ways. Anu ein lanu ella Hashem echad, Aron echad, v'Torah achas, u'mizbeach echad, v'choyin gadol echad. Okay, it's a very beautiful Rashi. Rashi's over here. This is a theological Rashi. You go for a PhD in theology, you learn of all the different types of religions. Rashi is coming to make a very powerful statement. In the Beis HaMikdash, everyone worships the same God. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was only one Mizbeach. There was only one Aron. There was only one Torah. There was only one. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash is one. But in other religions, You go to a church. In the church, there are different priests. They're worshiping different gods. How could that possibly be? Because it's like what's called a pantheon. Is that what was called the pantheon? The pantheon is a place where all the gods got together, like a sport. There were many gods. Yeah, 50 gods will come together, and 3 o'clock this god's in charge, and 4 o'clock this god's in charge, and 6 o'clock no one's in charge. Okay, it's a sport. The pantheon is where all the gods come together. Rashi here, this is an incredible Rashi. Rashi is describing a certain approach to religion that was very common in ancient times. The pantheon, many gods, and in the church they all came together. Diversity, right? Black Lives Matter. You have to also let them do what they want. Everyone gets to do whatever they want. And in this big church, you have many mizbachis. There's a mizbech for this god, a mizbech for this god, a mizbech for that god. There's this tool, there's this tool, there's that tool. That Klal Yisrael, that's not the way it goes. There's one Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we worship one Hashem. In Mikdash, there's one Mizbeach, upon which we only offer Korbanos to Hashem. There's only one Aron, there's only one Torah. Everything is only one in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein lanu el Hashem echad, Aron echad, v'tor achas v'mizbeach echad. V'koyein gadol echad, there's only one Koyein gadol. There are many priests. You don't have a whole collection of priests. The Atem, Masayim v'chamish mish mevakshem kuna gedoyla. What are you doing over here? Over here, 250 men from Sheva Reuven have come forth. They come to the men. Each one wants to be the Kohen Gadol. Afani roitze bekach. So I also, right now, what is this mean over here? The Atem, what's going on over here? What's going on? We have all these sounds? Sounds like there's a dog barking.
Sorry.
I put everyone on mute. I don't really know what these words mean. I don't know what these words mean over here in Rashi. So do I. I also want this. What does that mean? Who's saying that? Moshe saying that? Af ani roitze bekoch. Let's read further. Hey lochem tashmish chaviv mikol. Let's now analyze the very important Rashi, the most beloved. A service of all in the Beis HaMikdash. If you would not see this Rashi, and someone would ask you, what is the most beloved service to do in the Beis HaMikdash? Is it to bring the Ketores? Is it to bring a Mincha? Is it to bring a Karban? I don't know what you would say. Probably you would say to bring a Karban, to bring a very big animal as a sacrifice to Hashem. Rashi says it's not so. He HaKetores HaChaviv Mikol HaKarbanos. The most beloved service in the Beis HaMikdash is to bring the Ketores. V'sam HaMavis Nosim B'Seichoi. Shaboy Nishifu Nadav Aviu. The Ketores is the most beloved, but the Ketores is the most dangerous. How do we know that it's the most dangerous? Because in the Ketores is poison. Because of the Ketores, Nadav Aviu died. Because V'lifich therefore his Shabohem, he warned them. V'hayahu ish ashayif Hashem hu hakadosh. The one kivarhu bikdush asoi. The word hakadosh means he is already in the past tense. He is, or in the present tense, he already is holy. Kivar hu big dusha soy, v'chi ein anu yoidim shemi sheyifchar hu hakadosh. What does that mean? Of course, Ela Omar lohem Moshe. What does he mean when he said those words? Hareini oimer lohem shloit tischayvu mi sheyifchar bo. I'm warning you. Don't bring death upon yourself. Do not shloit tischayvu kama mi sheyifchar bo yetzechai. The one that Hashem selects, he will live. But kulchem oivdim, everyone else will die. So Rashi over here is putting together a collection. Rashi over here is putting together a collection of ideas. He's saying over here that since the Beis HaMikdash there's only one Kohen Gadol. That's it. Don't come and make this religion into another religion. There's only one person who's eligible to be the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, if 250 people come and offer Ketores, make them believe they are the Kohen Gadol, you're all gonna die. You're all going to die because you're not eligible. The one that is eligible already has been selected. He already is holy. He is the one from whom Hashem will accept the Ketores. Everyone else that's not acceptable, they're going to die just like Nadav Aviv. So you have to appreciate this. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the 250 men, was speaking to them with something that they can relate to. Everyone in the entire Klal Yisrael, it was fresh in their minds what happened to Nadav Aviv. Nadav Aviv was makriv in Eish Zara, Asher Loitziva Lohem, a strange fire, which Hashem did not command them. When they went to the Kodesh HaKodashim, they died. Everyone knew that. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, you're going to be now just like Nadav Aviv. You're going to die by bringing an Eish Zara because you are not commanded. There's only one person that's commanded. And now you're suggesting, well, we're all holy, we all are commanded. No, no, no. This is not the pantheon. This is not a place where we have multiple gods. There's only one God. There's only one God here in this. There's only one Kohen Gadol. There's one Hashem. There's one Mizbeach. There's one Kohen Gadol. There's one Torah. There's one Aron. Everyone else who is not eligible is going to be rejected. And when you bring Ketores and you are rejected, you pay with your life. If Nadav Aviv did not die, this is a very important Yisoid. If Nadav Aviv had never brought the Eish Zara into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there would have been the same exact rebellion at this moment in time, Moshe Rabbeinu would not tell them to do this technique of having them bring Ketores on their pants. The only reason why Moshe told them the way he told them to get rid of the silence, the rebellion, was to bring Ketores, was because they knew firsthand what they were getting into. If Nadav Aviv did not die, they didn't have to die. If Hu Asher Dibar Hashem B'Kerovai Ekodesh Hashem, Moshe said that there's going to be something very important is going to happen. But let's say whatever happened when they inaugurated the Mishkan on the eighth day of the Miluim, if Nadav Aviv did not die and Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to put down the rebellion, he would not be able to use the technique that he's selecting now to put down the rebellion. Why? Because it's not a fair shot. It's not a fair warning. It's a very profound thing that Rashi is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu is being fair. He's not just coming to strike them down with lightning. You people, you're rebelling against me. You're starting up with me. You're making trouble. So you know what? I'm going to squash you. I'm going to obliterate you. A bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and obliterate you. That's not fair. Moshe Rabbeinu has to give these people bechira chofshes, free will. Moshe Rabbeinu, thus he drew from something which they were very familiar with, and that is Nadav Aviv. They offered Ketores, which they were not supposed to do, and they paid with their life. So now realize that if you are not selected and you are not authorized to do what you're doing, to bring the Ketores, you're also going to pay with your life just like Nadav Aviv. So you are bringing death upon yourself knowingly because you have the experience to realize what is going to happen to you. Don't come blame me and say, I just struck you down. It's an incredible Masahaskil. Okay, many Rabbanim, when they fight with the Balabatim, they believe they are Moshe Rabbeinu. They are Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Balabatim are Korach. Like one rabbi, he got up in shul and he said, in front of the whole shul, it says in the Pasuk, Ubnei Korach, Loi Meisu. So where are they? What happened to them? They're sitting right here in this shul. They're sitting right here. And you should finally get what's supposed to come upon you. The earth should swallow you up. Go down, burn. Right? That's what some rabbanim want to say to the Balabatim. That's not fair. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not just curse them, they should be obliterated. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them free will with something that they related to 100%. They saw with their own eyes that if you bring Ketores, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and you're not instructed to do so, you die. You saw that. You're a witness to that. So now, here, I'm not doing anything. You want to be the Kohen Gadol? Go right ahead. Be the Kohen Gadol. That's right. Be the Kohen Gadol. Go right ahead. Everyone take your pan with Ketores and be the Kohen Gadol and go offer a Ketores.
Rashi used the same logic when he with Meraglim. You just saw what happened with Miriam.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right. It's a whole new appreciation. It's not just Stam Azoy Moshe Rabbeinu. He goes and he puts his finger out and a bolt of lightning comes out of his finger and they die. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not doing nothing to you. You're gonna do it to yourself. You're doing it to yourself by bringing Ketores. You're not authorized. Okay, let's go further. That concludes the Rashi. Next, what's machta? What's a machta? What is a machta? Kelim shechosim bohem gecholim v'yesh lohem beis yod. Okay, why is Rashi telling us this? I do not know. It's a utensil which you stir. It's a shovel. What we call a shovel. Shechosim bohem. You go and you stir coals, and it has a handle. Now shechosim means I assume means to stir. to stir coals and has a handle. Let's see Targum. Targum Pasuk Vav says Zoy Sasu, so shall you do. The Kare.
The English says stoking.
The stoke. Okay, so it's not really a shovel. It's not a shovel. It's something which is used to stoke. A stoker is not a shovel. It's not a receptacle. Yet it says here to take. So it must be that this stoker does have at least some flat surface.
It has a handle
to hold on to it. But it has to be that it has.
Holds with a handle.
But it has to be that there's a receptacle. And there must be a receptacle. Otherwise, how is it possible for them to take in within it coals upon which they're going to offer ketores? Okay, let's see. Pasuk Vav in the Targum. Do avidu. So shall you do. Kichulochem in sivu lechoin. Take for yourself. Mach tois, which he translates as mach tiyon. Shovels, okay. Karach v'chol kinishtei. It's a very interesting word. He calls the adosai his assembly. He calls it a kinishta, like a besa knesses, a kinishta, a kinishtei his assembly. Okay, his assembly. Okay, pasuk zayin. Now that you have the shovel, what should you do with the shovel? Usnu vohein esh. In the shovel, you shall put fire. V'simu alehen kiteres. Upon the fire. Well, we have to define what is the precise meaning of aleihen, okay, which simply means upon the shovels or upon the fire. I don't know, either upon the fire or upon the shovels. You shall put kitores lefnei Hashem, before Hashem, mochor, tomorrow. The word mochor, this is one of the psukim, by the way. Oh, yeah, let's lefnei, in our Tamei HaMikra, the word mochor is connected to the word lefnei Hashem. Before Hashem tomorrow, don't do this today, do it tomorrow. I want you to think about it overnight. Tomorrow, come back with a shovel, put in the shovel fire, which are coals, put on top of the coals ketores, and do this tomorrow. V'hoyo, it will be ho'ish, the man, asha yifcha Hashem, that Hashem has selected. Hashem, now the word yifcha means will select in the future tense. The word Yivchar is the few Hashem will select. Hu HaKadosh. He is already holy. That is what Rashi taught us in the previous Rashi. There is a mixing of the tenses. The man that will be selected tomorrow by Hashem, he is a person who was already holy in the past, or is holy right now before Hashem will even select him. That's a very deep principle. What does that mean? Hashem is first going to select tomorrow somebody. And the one that he will select in the future, it was predestined, it was already predetermined from before that he already was holy? I guess so. And then we conclude with an expression which is out of context. Rav lochem b'nei Levi. Enough is enough. And we'll see what it means. Rav lochem is a machlekes, what the word rav lochem means here. Let's see Rashi Pasik Zayin. Rashi is silent in regarding everything else in this pasuk, which is quite a shocking thing. There's so much you can say about everything in the beginning of the pasuk. The only part of the pasuk which he comments is Rav Lochem Bnei Levi. And Rashi here says something very interesting. Dover Godol Amarti Lochem. I told you a Dover Godol. I told you something very important. The light. Dover Godol Amarti Lochem, period. Which means, he is translating the words Rav Lochem, that I just told you something. The subject of the word Rav refers to the message. The message that I gave over to you is a Dover Godol, is a very great profound and significant thing, which I will explain. I'm giving you the choice to decide if you want to live or die. Now, Rashi continues, V'loi tipshim hayu. They were not fools. Shekach hisha bohem v'kiblo leim l'krav. They listened. He warned them, and they still accepted upon themselves the challenge to offer the ketores. So, Elo heim chotu al nafshoy sam. They were suicidal. Shenemar, they sin with their souls. Shenemar, Eis Machtes Hachatoim Ha'ele B'Nafshoisam. The shovels of the sinners, these sinners B'Nafshoisam. Okay, so he's writing over here is, it's not really clear what Rashi means. A lot of this is subject to interpretations. It's very, very deep Rashi's here. What does it mean over here that chotu al nafshoisam? They sinned al with their souls. It seems to me they were suicidal. They were mamish suicidal. They knew what Moshe was saying. They accepted that Moshe is right. Nadav Avihu died. They died because they were not Kohanim Gedolim. They knew they were not Kohanim Gedolim. They were not Tipshim. V'loy Tipshim hayu. Shekach Hishabohem, the Kiblu Aleim Likrav. And what it basically means, according to Rashi, the simple translation of Rashi, that they don't teach this to you in kindergarten, is these 250 men basically knew they were going to die. They knew they're not Kohanim Gedolim. They have no place in this machlokes, in doing what they're doing. They will die. So why do they do it? Why do they do it? Okay, this is the human condition. You can darsh on this Rashi, you can get a PhD on this Rashi, trying to analyze the psychology, what is going on in their minds. Here they have a choice to live, be happy, go back home to their wives. They can get married. If they're not married, they can get married. They can have children their whole life. And yet they don't want. They want to die. They want to die. Why do they want to die? Their hatred for Moshe is so great, or their loyalty to Korach is so great, they're willing to go down no matter what, to make their point that we don't want any part of this. That's what it says.
Everybody knows they're going down anyway. They got 40 years, they're dead.
What?
All know they're going to die because of the...
So what? But they have 40 good years. Well, they have 40 wonderful years. In the desert, they had mun. Everyone had mun. They had what to eat. I mean, you ask a person, what is the purpose of life? No one knows the answer, but the idea is, whatever you accomplish in this world, you take with you to the next world. Every word of Torah, every mitzvah, you have to have emunah, that you are creating for yourself something in the next world with your preparation in this world. Every time you have a challenge in this world and you overcome it, it affects your neshama. And that means in the next world, it's a different existence than if you would have failed that nesayon. Person has a nesayon, he has a test. If he fails the test, okay, so when the neshama goes to the next world, it's this type of existence. If he overcomes the nesayon, and then eventually he's going to die, no one lives forever, and comes to the next world, it's going to be a very different type of existence. What that is, no one ever came back to tell us. But we are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, and that's how we live our lives. So these people had 40 years to prepare their neshamas for the next world. They're going to die, that's right. They were told because of the chet hamaraglim, they're going to die in the desert. But so what? 40 years in Kollel will create for their neshamas a very different type of existence in the next world. So what are you committing suicide? What are you committing suicide for? And yet Rashi could not be more clear. They were not tipshim. They fully got the message. Dovar godol amarti lochem, rav lochem. The subject of the word rav means the argument that I presented to you is great. It is profound. It is deep. It is true. Accept what I've told you. I've given you a very powerful message. Look at Dosa. Look at Nada Vahaviu. That's really the main thrust of Rashi. It does not say that in the pasuk anywhere, but Rashi is that injects that idea. I've presented you with something very profound, and they got it. They absorbed the message. They said, "You're right, Moshe Rabbeinu, but you know something? We're suicidal. We've reached a point now where we're just going to go down no matter what." Look at the Japanese, the kamikaze pilots. What were they thinking? It was suicidal. They don't have enough fuel to go back home. It's suicidal. So what are you doing? Run away. What's going on over here? Obviously, there's something in the mind, something that needs to be understood about the human condition of how the mind works. They're under enormous pressure from Korach. Chazal tell us Korach was super charismatic. If we were living in the time of Korach, not even one person would want to listen to Moshe. We would all be swept away by Korach's charisma.
Oh, you mean as it is, he only got 250?
Well, that's because there was a generation of a Dordea, they were very holy people, so they were able to see, most were able to see through Korach. But if we...
14,700 died. Innocent onlookers who didn't do anything.
But they sympathized. They sympathized with Korach. Okay?
I mean, they were watching. Say something?
It's not so simple.
That's a different level, though. They're not.
Well, that's exactly, but that's the facts of what happened.
Okay, but this is something which obviously is way over my head, but it's. You have to understand psychology, how the mind works, and why people want to commit suicide. Even people who have a very good life.
They don't call it suicide. It's for God or country.
Whatever you want to call it. It you see a makar hafeichba dekulaba. It's all in the Torah. And here you want to talk about suicide. Here is the sugi of suicide. The B'nai Korach, that's now they teach you in kindergarten. In kindergarten, they say, no, the people of Korach, they really thought they're going to win. And Hashem showed them, you're wrong. You think you're right. I'm going to show you you're wrong. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says they were committing suicide. This is the sugya of suicide. Anyone that wants to have understanding of Das Torah relating to suicide cannot ignore this Rashi and analyze the story of Korach and the psychology that's going on over here to get an insight in the Torah's understanding, that the lessons you could learn about suicide from the Torah. That's what it says here. How else can you read this Rashi? Next.
The Sifsei Chachamim explains Rashi in greater detail, and he says there are two different Rav Lochem. One is you're asking for too much.
Okay, that's a different... That's a, there.
Rav Lochem is, I can't believe you're so gracious to talk about Hashem in that manner.
That's a different Rav Lochem. That was back in Pasuk Gimel. Right, so it's important to take in the Rabbi Messer. Ramayevsky is making a very important point because back in Pasuk Gimel, there's another Rav Lochem. Vayikalu al Moshe v'yalar vayomu Moshe vayomu alehem. They vayomu ale Moshe and Aaron. No, I'm sorry. Vayomu Korach said to Moshe v'Aaron, Rav Lochem. So there's a Rav Lochem. Who said those words, Rav Lochem? That was Korach, the Chol Adosai, said those words, same exact words to Moshe. And there Rashi says, Harbe Yoiser Midai Lekachtem Le'atzmechem Gidula. Korach and his followers complained to Moshe, you took for yourself too much. You took the Malchus, the Kohuna, the Nesius, you took for yourselves too much, and you left us with nothing, high and dry. Here, Moshe, this poetic justice, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming back to argue and using the exact same words, Rav Lochem. But here, Rashi makes it very clear that what Rav Lochem does not mean too much.
Brazenness talking to Hashem.
Well, that's there. Here, Rashi says, Dovor Godol Omarti Lochem. Rav Lochem in this passage, according to Rashi, has an entirely different connotation, entirely different meaning, according to Rashi. Anyway, look in the Rishonim, you'll have 10 Perushim, what the words Rav Lochem mean.
Right, yeah. It says, Nusachach, the aim of Farish, Yosemi Midai, Kamosha Kosav Rashi, Lemalo, Alkol, Rav Lochem, Shaloi Tokin Lefarish, Almisha, who Cholek, Al Hashem, Yosemi Midai.
But that's the end of Rashi. Rashi has another Perush at the end, right? So let's first go with Rashi, what he says at this moment in time. Now let's go further. Now Rashi says some amazing stuff here. And once we already mentioned that do you hear all this background noise? Yeah? So let me tell the Kindlach to be quiet.
They told me that
I should go downstairs.
Did you go outside?
I should go downstairs, right? How did you go downstairs? No, I should go downstairs.
I did it once. In the
they told me Rav Lachem.
I thought it was kids. The guy was 6'4". Me and Howie walked over to the guy and told him to stop doing it. He came out from behind the garbage bill. He stood up. He was like a foot taller than both of us. I said, goodbye.
You see what happened over here? I told them, you're making too much. I told them Rav Lachem. I told them Rav Lachem, and they said back to me, Rav Lachem. Exactly what we're learning. What happened over here? Okay, let's go further. Now, Rashi over here says that once we already mentioned that the 250 men were clever, smart people, and they were suicidal. Now, what about Korach? He was the one who started the entire thing. What was he thinking? He was also a very smart man. He was a very smart man. This is a very famous chazal. What did Korach, what was he thinking? What did he need this for? What did he need this for? The answer is, Einoi hit atu. Rashi is coming to be melamed tzchus on Korach. Why would Rashi want to do that? Rashi is being melamed tzchus on Korach. Roho shalsheles gedoyla yoitza mimenu. He saw that greatness will come from him. Shmuel, who came from Korach? Who is his enikel, his descendants? Shmuel. Shmuel Hanavi, he was one who anointed Shaul and David. And he was considered to be Sheshokol Keneged Moshe V'Aaron. His own enikel is equal Keneged Moshe V'Aaron. Omar, he said, B'shviloi ani nimlot. In the zechus of my enikel, I will be spared from any harm. The Eshem V'Arbon B'shmoros Omgos Livnei Bonov. Kulam Misnabim. He also, what else did he see? He also saw that 24 Mishmoros of Levim will stand Libnei Bonov, Kula Misnabim Beruach HaKodesh, Shenemar, Kol Eile Bonim LeHeimon. Heimon is a descendant of Korach, and he saw that there would be 24 Mishmarois Oimdois Libnei. Now, I don't really know what that means exactly, because there was a total of 24 Mishmarois. There was a total of 24 mishmaris that served in the Beis HaMikdash, corresponding to the 24 mishmaris of Kohanim. They served Zelu Mazeh. But to the best of my understanding, the 24 mishmaris of the Levim were not all descendants of Korach, unless, I mean, and they are. I guess that must be. It must be that all the 24 mishmaris of Levim that served, it alternated, corresponding to the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim that served in the Beis HaMikdash, were all descendants of Korach. So he said to himself, if I am the patriarch of 24 Mishmaros of Levim that alternate in singing Hashem's praises, if I am the patriarch of Shmuel, who is Shagol Kenegin Moshe V'Aaron, so don't you think the Zayde is a grace of Chusim, and nothing's going to happen to me? Of course, what could possibly happen to me? Little did he realize that look what goes on today. Today, all these black lives that don't matter very much to me, they're willing to destroy the others, the founding fathers, the people who gave them this country. Columbus, Washington, Jefferson, even Lincoln, who the Emancipation Proclamation, even him. This is the others. Look at Avraham, look at Yitzhak. These are the founding fathers. And what do they do to them? They take them and they drag the Avos in the mud. Korach thought they're not going to drag him in the mud. Did Lincoln ever think a slave, an African-American, will pull down his statue and drag him in the mud? Would he ever imagine such a thing? Did Korach ever imagine that I'm the one that's responsible for everything that you have, every benefit, every entitlement, every blessing that you have that other people will give their right arm for? You're going to go and you're going to take down my statue? Are you talking such a thing? Korach was the same way. It's impossible. That's what led him astray. Omar Evsha Kol Hagidula Hazois Asida La Amoid Mimeni Vani Edoim. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm not gonna go and do my honor also. Lekach therefore Nishtate.
Can't hear.
You can't hear me?
Then I hear you fine.
Okay, I don't know. Whoever cannot hear me,
Okay,
we have to work on training courses in a sound of Zoom. Let's go. Okay, let's go further. Who's the one who's saying Kaneir? Larry? Heshi? Heshi? Heshi, yeah, it's Heshi. Heshi, yeah. Reboot! Everyone can hear me fine. You have to reboot your computer. Let's go further, or your phone. Let's go further. And therefore, I'm going to go and be nishtatev lovo lo'isa chazaka. To that, chazaka means over here, to that demand. I'm going to remain firm in my approach to get what I deserve. Now, here Rashi is saying something very, very deep. Rashi over here is saying like this. Rashi over here is saying is, Korach also knew there was truth in Moshe's words. But see, here's a very powerful idea. He also knew there was truth in Moshe's words. But Korach, what did Moshe say? In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, there is only one Kohen Gadol. This is not the pantheon. There are not a lot of Kohanim Gedolim and many Mizbachos and many different services. There's only one. And Hashem has selected my brother Aaron to be the one. You're claiming that no, Aaron took too much. Korach should be the one. So the other 250 people, Ein Achinami, they knew they're not the one. They knew that they are not going to be the ones. But here lies the difference. Korach believed he will be the one. He really, really believed that he will prevail over Aaron. Korach was not suicidal. Korach was a pikeach. Korach knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. There could only be one Kohen Gadol. But Korach sincerely believed that he had greater zechusim than Aaron. And he really deserved it. The 250 men were very wise men. And they knew that what Moshe said was right. And they knew they were committing suicide. Why? Talk to a psychologist. What's the logic behind their suicide? Korach was not suicidal. Korach, Moshe, you're right. There's one person that's going to win. Who's going to win? Me or Aaron? Who will come from Aaron? Nobody. Nobody. I don't know anything special about Aaron's descendants. I don't know anything special. I know that for me will come. Al pi ruach hakodesh will come Shmuel. Will come 24 mishmaros of Leviim. I'm better. My progeny is much, much better than Aaron. And therefore, it has to be that I am going to be the one that will be selected. So I am not suicidal. Rashi is going back to what he said before. So these are simple words of Rashi, but these are very profound ideas. Next, Asha Yifra Hashem Hu HaKadosh, the one that Hashem will in the future select, he is the one that is holy. Toha V'tola Ba'atzmai. Korach believed he's the one. V'loi Ro'o Yofeh. Rashi here says that he did not see with beauty. Why did Rashi select the word Yofeh? This goes back to the beginning of the parasha. Rashi, the beginning of the parasha, says that parasha zu yofeh nidreshes. When we started the parasha, the first Rashi in parasha is Korach, parasha zo yofeh nidreshes b'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. It's yofeh nidreshes, and here Rashi nochamol says the same exact word, v'loi ro'o yofeh, l'fi shabonav osu teshuvah, u'moshe hoye ro'yeh. He is another bombshell here. The only reason why his children were greater than Korach was because his children did teshuvah. His children were supposed to die with him. His children were part of the conspiracy against Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the very last moment, his children said, you know something? Our father is wrong, Moshe is right. And they backed off. And that's why Uvnei Korach loy mesu. And because they did teshuvah, they did not only did they not die, great, great things came from them. But at this moment in time, when Korach is making this statement, Korach's children are not doing teshuvah. At this moment in time, Korach's children firmly believe that their father is correct, and they are on board, and they are rebelling in full force against Moshe Rabbeinu. So my children are rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'm rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. I have very great tzchusim because I know what's going to come from me, and from Aaron will come nothing. Therefore, I got to be right. There's one thing he did not see. He did not see that at the very last moment, his own children will abandon him and will switch sides to Moshe Rabbeinu and do teshuva, and he'll be left all alone. And that's the reason why they're going to be zeicha to all of these great things. He will not be connected to them. He's not going to have that connection. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu at this moment in time already saw that there's a weakness in Korach's children and they're going to abandon ship. Moshe saw this. He saw Korach. He saw the children. He saw the children. They're not such hotheads, which is probably the most amazing exception to the principle of machloikis in the world that happened once and never ever happened again. Ordinarily, when there's a little machloikis between two people, their children create out of it a world war. Okay, when there's a little machloikis between two Rosh Yeshivas, and the machloikis between them is literally dakos shebedakos, the size of a chut hasara, go down one generation, they hate each other. The Talmidim of this Rosh Hashiva and that Rosh Hashiva can look at each other. Okay, today modern orthodoxy and the yeshiva world, they don't even acknowledge that the other one exists. But go back 25 years ago in the Jewish Observer, a good publication, they had Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb wrote an article, and they had, I think Avinu Rav Elia Svei wrote an article. They had mamish back to back. A dialogue. I don't know exactly, and the difference between them then was mamish a chut hasara. But what happened? There was a difference. And what happened to the next generation? The divide gets a little bit bigger. And the next generation, the divide gets even bigger and bigger. That's the way it is in every machlokes. Until it comes to the point you don't even know what you're arguing about. And where it all started, the difference between the two is mamish kechut hasara. Here, Moshe, you would expect that if Korach hates Moshe a drop, a little bit, Korach's children will hate Moshe a lot. And yet it's amazing that Korach's children abandoned their own father and did tshuva and joined Moshe Rabbeinu. They came back. Moshe saw this. Moshe understood this. And that's why he knew that Korach was wrong. Okay, let's finish up over here. Moshe Yiroya Tanhuma, Rav Lachem. Rashi now gives us another translation of the words Rav Lachem. Dovar Godol Nitaltem Ba'atzmechem Lachalik Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Rashi's second interpretation, he's translating the words exactly the way Korach used the words against Moshe the Aaron. Rav Lochem, you've gone way too far. The subject of Rav, the subject is the Machloikas. This that you've chosen to separate and argue and rebel against Hashem is a very, 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 very grand, a very horrible, explosive event. Dover Godol Nitaltem, you have taken Ba'atzmechem Lachalik to Micholik, to disagree with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see quickly the Targum, we'll stop. The Targum, Pasik Zayin, V'havu V'hoin E'shosa, put in these pans fire. V'shavo Alehoin Kitores, put upon them. Now, there are two gear source. No, I'm sorry, there's only one. Kitores Busmin. Okay, there are two words. The Targum here, we once mentioned, every time the Targum uses two words to translate something, that's a red flag. Because the Targum, as Rabbi Yevsky told me yesterday, he explained the difference between the Targum Unkelis and the Targum Yenisa in Uziel. Targum Unkelis is always usually a very, very strict translation, a one-word translation. Over here, there are two words. Ketores Busmin is two words. Ketores of Busmin, different spices. Kadam Hashem, before Hashem. Mechar, tomorrow. Vihei Gavar Di Yisrael Hashem. Now the word Yisrael over here is also an unusual word. The word means to select, but really out of time. We have to finish up very quickly. Yisra'el. Okay, we'll just leave for now the word Yisra'el, the select. Hu Hakhu Kaddish. He is the Holy One. Okay, Hu Kaddish. Sagil L'choin B'nei Levi. It is an abundance L'choin to you B'nei Levi. All right, there's a lot to read into the Targum. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Targum is trying to say. You know, we have to look at all the other Mepharshim and see what they say, and then try to see with the nuance is what the Targum, what he's trying to say here. All right, we'll leave it with that. We're going to leave it with that. It's unfortunate we have to stop here. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to learn the Siddur. Thursday, we learn the Siddur, Mir Tashem. Rabbi Mayevsky, thank you very, very much for giving a spectacular show yesterday. And have a wonderful night. I'll see you all, Mir Tashem, whoever wants, tomorrow at 9:30. Good evening.
Thanks very much. Ashley Klein, you still there?
Good evening. Thank you.
Rabbi, what is, nothing to do with this, what is Maisa Oreg Aleph Reish Gimel? Is that kind of some kind of...
Maisa Oreg, Oreg, to weave. Maisa Oreg, the name of the loom. The loom, Hilcha Shabbos. There's the Shesi and the Erev. There is the way you the melachos that are go into weaving a garment. There are many parts to the machine that's used to weave a garment. There is the buchya, which is the spool of thread. There is the shesi threads, the oirev threads. There is a tool called the mapits, which you like a needle, which you straighten out the threads. There's the name of a sefer called Maisei Oireg. It's a picture book, which shows you in very great detail exactly how, in ancient times, they would weave garments. And so you know that when the Gemara refers to a certain tool, a certain part of the machine, you know exactly what it's referring to.
Thank you. Shkoyach for tonight. Feel better?
I'm fine. Baruch Hashem, I feel okay. I'm just tired. Aren't we all tired? Who's not tired? Have you ever met a person that's not tired?
Two more shiurim. Shalom.
Be well. Good night. Eshokar Mayevsky, thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I was thinking that maybe Korach's, one of his thoughts was that when by the Maisa Egel, it was Aaron who built the Egel. And when they said, Mila Shem Elai, Korach was, I always made a point of saying, Korach, don't forget, let's remember when Moshe said, Mila Shem Elai, they had school off of Bnei Levi, Korach was on Moshe's side. And I was Aaron who built the Egel. So maybe he was thinking, listen, Aaron was part of the problem with the Egel. And even though the Venavil died as a result, as part of the punishment, so maybe Aaron wasn't so right in his mind. He never did anything wrong like Aaron. I mean, I'm just posing a mindset that he had in his head. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, be well.